emergency workers, and I think there may be some that are on shift that may be able to come by for the meal, and certainly we also want to be remembering and praying for those who are here and for also all of our emergency workers in Graves County and Mayfield. This is something that we're taking seriously and that we certainly want to sincerely honor and pray for these workers and for what they mean to our church family and to our community. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, in verses 1 through 7, it speaks about this concept. And in verse number 7 of Romans 13, where Paul is dealing with the submission to governing authorities, at the end of that section, in verse 7, he says, pay to all what is owed them. Now, we don't like this first part. Taxes to whom taxes you owe. But we understand we've got to pay taxes, and that the responsibility there, Jesus teaches us. Jesus taught that, and now Paul's teaching that as well. And he says, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. And in the context, Paul is talking about governing authorities. He's talking about those who are serving a function for us in our communities, who serve as the law, who serve in service organizations, who serve as emergency responders to help those who are in need. And he says we need to honor them. He says these individuals, these men and women who are serving these capacities, number one, he says you need to respect them. Respect to whom respect is due. And one of the issues that we're seeing so often in our culture, and one of the reasons that we wanted to respond in this way as a church and let the community know that we care about this group, is because we believe that there is a devaluing, a lessening of respect for law enforcement, for those who are in these service organizations who risk their lives every day to help and to respond and to protect and to serve. And we need to respect them. We need to teach our children to respect them. Respect to whom respect is due. But then the Bible says, honor to whom honor is due. Not only do we need to have a respect for the position they hold, for the work they do, but we also need to honor them for the function they play. All of us understand that and have had situations in our life, and our families have been affected, where law enforcement or an emergency worker came to our aid. I think about our own church family here, where in April of 2008, we had our bus accident, and we had every ambulance, I think, in our system was here. And of course, the law enforcement was here at this intersection up here and giving aid to our church family in the accident that we had endured. And that's just our church family. But you think about how, as individuals, we've all experienced things where this group of people have made a difference in our lives, and we depend upon them. But Paul also says in this section that we are to respect them and the role they play. Backing up a little bit before he makes that statement, he says that we are to be submissive to them or be subject to governing authorities. And then in verse 2 he says, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. And he says, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, then be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. We want to support righteousness. We want to support doing good. And we believe and we want to encourage our law enforcement and our workers to do the same. And we believe that they do. We want to honor them in such. And so tonight, we wanted to, first of all, pray. Donna's done that later on. Joel, one of our elders, also will have a special prayer. And we've been doing that this week. And we also want to say in a very visible way, thank you. Thank you for the service that they play. And we wanted our congregation to be mindful of this. As we think about a lesson, though, as we think about what these workers represent to our culture, I thought of the famous story of the Good Samaritan. Most all of us are familiar with that, but turn in your Bibles to the passage that Austin read in Luke chapter 10. And maybe there's no more story of Jesus that is more famous and has done more good in terms of hospitals being established and common good amongst people than the story of the Good Samaritan. And it's a very famous story. And in this story, of course, it's often used to condemn self-righteousness and even religious arrogance for the sake of just being hypocritical and not caring. And sometimes religion does have that name, and this story certainly represents how we should not have that kind of attitude. And this story is one that is going to teach us some great lessons. In Luke chapter 10, the Bible will say that there was a lawyer who stood up to put Jesus to the test in verse 25. And he said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So he's asking about what I need to do to be saved. How do I get to heaven? And he said, "Well, what's written in the law?" And he said, "How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord," Jesus did, "you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." That's what the lawyer said. He knew what the old law said. You've got to love the Lord, and you've got to love your neighbor. And he said to him, "You have answered correctly." Jesus said, you got it right. You know what the book says. You've got to love God, and you've got to love your neighbor. Do this, and you will live. But then the man asked this question. He says, desiring to justify himself to Jesus, said, "Who is my neighbor?" Apparently the lawyer had a little bit of guilt within him. And he thought, you know, I know that I'm supposed to love God, and I'm about that. He probably went to the synagogue regularly. He did all the things that a, quote, good Jewish person was supposed to do. He was a lawyer. He followed the law of Moses. But there was something about him that bothered him. You know, lawyers are good at finding loopholes, right? They're good at working around the system. And they often work in the definition of words. How is this word defined? And they will often try to say, you know, find ways around based upon that definition. So this lawyer, he wanted to know, who's my neighbor? Because in his definition, it was other religious, good Jewish people. So Jesus gives him a story that blows his mind, that blows the definition of a neighbor away in his own mind. And it's this simple story about a man who fell amongst thieves, that fell amongst robbers, and he is going to be left for dead, basically, on the side of the road. This is known as a dangerous section of the road, dangerous area of Israel at that time. And so it was a story that was kind of based in some truth, in that idea. And here we have two key figures, a priest, thought of as, of course, as in the law of Moses and in this day and age, as one of the chief religious leaders. They were supposed to teach the law, they were supposed to practice the law, and a Levite, once again, of the tribal priesthood, and they were supposed to be involved, the tribe of Levite, of also being religious and being serving in the tabernacle or in the temple area, and being involved in the officiating of the worship of God. And both of these men just passed by. They just ignored the problem. Some have, you know, we've made various ideas up. Maybe, as I read this morning, talking about this similar story and how we've got to listen, maybe one of them was reading their Bible. Maybe one of them was going to a speaking appointment, and he was in a hurry to get to that speaking appointment where he could teach some people the law. Maybe one of them, you know, had to get up and offer sacrifices in Jerusalem. So he was in a hurry to get there to offer sacrifices. But whatever the case, they both went by on the other side of the road. They both ignored the man who had been injured. And then the Samaritan, and it's not by accident that Jesus chooses a Samaritan, because a Samaritan, as most of you know, was the racial tension issue in the first century. The Jews and the Samaritans hated one another. The Samaritans were, for lack of a better term, were a half-breed. They were a group that had come out of the Jewish people intermarrying with Gentiles. And they lived in a section of Palestine, and the Jews and the Samaritans did not mingle. They had a lot of animosity and hatred to one another. And the Samaritans practiced certain parts of the old law. They followed the books of Moses, but they didn't follow the rest of it. And so there was a lot of different animosity between the Jews and Samaritans. And so here's this Samaritan. We want to read what the Bible tells us this Samaritan does. In verse number 33, "But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had," key word, "compassion. And he went to him and bound up his wounds. And he poured oil and wine upon them," that is, using them for medicinal value and trying to bind up his wounds and help heal his hurts. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii. Remember, that's the equivalent of a day's wage. So 2 days of work for an average worker. And he gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back." And then Jesus asked that question, which of these do you think proved to be a neighbor? There's some things that I want to observe. 3 things. First of all, notice how Jesus connects our love of others with our love of God. Jesus had told this man knew well that you've got to love God. That's the vertical relationship. And he said, you've got to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the horizontal relationship. But that man had defined neighbor in a very narrow way. He had defined neighbor in that he loved the people that were like him, the people he liked, the people that were easy to love. And of course, Jesus is telling him that you've got to love your neighbor even if he is that awful Samaritan. You've got to love in a way that is action-oriented, like this Samaritan man who is going to minister to this hurt man. You've got to love in a way that displays love, that doesn't just avoid it, like the Levite and the priest, but one who puts love into action. That our love of God is directly connected with our love of man. And then if we say we love God, we've got to also be willing to love man whom God created. So Jesus connects our love of others with our love of God. That's why it's so difficult to love out what Jesus says, to live out what Jesus says. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Notice the second thing I would suggest is that he does the extraordinary in the midst of the ordinary. I've been reading a second volume to a book that came out back in 2003. The first book was called The Fred Factor. Some of you might have heard of that at that time. But it's about Fred the postman, and the author had a postman who was extremely diligent. And he was always doing these extra duties and service that he didn't have to do for him. And he wrote a book about Fred and about how Fred, his real postman, was always doing extraordinary work and the difference he made even in the midst of the ordinary. And about how all of us need to look to find meaning and purpose. And we need to go, in the words of Jesus, we need to go that extra mile in service. And that all of us are living ordinary lives for the most part. And we're doing our mundane things every day. But we need to realize that the bonuses that we choose to make, the extra decisions that we choose to give just to help people out, just because, for lack of a better term, just because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. To help someone out. To care about someone. You see, that's the extraordinary in the midst of the ordinary. And I think this Samaritan, he takes it one step farther. He doesn't only help this man. He doesn't only stop and check on him and say, "Are you all right? You're going to live? And, well, I got to get on to Jerusalem." No, he binds up his wounds. He puts him on his own horse, which means he's walking. He takes him to the inn. He gets him settled into the inn. He leaves money. And he says, "I'll check back." You see, that's the extraordinary. That's going above and beyond the call. And then the third thing I would suggest is that he showed mercy to his enemy. And it was love in action. It seems that most likely, though Jesus doesn't spell it out, it seems that this man who fell amongst thieves, because of where it was located and because of the context of our story, it seems that he would have been likely and assumed to be a Jewish man. And so you have this idea of a Jewish man, and the priest and the Levite avoid him, but the Samaritan, who was the least likely to help the Jewish man, stops and helps what we might think of as his enemy. You see, he showed mercy, compassion. He showed love in action. Now, as we think about these and we think about these points in this very basic story of the Good Samaritan and how it represents so much for us, I want you to think about why we're here tonight. Because in many ways, I think the Good Samaritan story illustrates what we as Christians obviously are supposed to be doing, but also what our emergency workers are about doing on a daily basis. When you think about those, the lives and the work of those who are in these fields, you think about how they have to do the extraordinary in the midst of the ordinary, about how their work is really about loving others. And I know many of them are motivated because of that core value of love of God, and that there's a reason they're here, and that they don't just do their job for the money, but they do it in the sense because it's a calling, it's a passion, it's what they feel like they can do to contribute to God and to society. I think about a policeman who goes above and beyond the call to help a young lady change a tire on the side of the road, or to minister to a family in the middle of the night when they have to go and tell them about an accident their family member has been involved in. And they don't just do it in a harsh way, but they try to do it in a loving and kind way, and they see to the needs of that family to take them or help them get to where they need to be. Or think about a fireman who risked his life just to save often our physical possessions. Or think about EMT workers who will check on a patient that they help save the next day and maybe even the next week when they're in the hospital. You see, they go above and beyond. Good Samaritans go the extra mile. It's service with love and with care, realizing that you're serving people, and it's not just your job, and you're not just producing parts, or you're not just producing things, but it's about service and protection. It's about lives, family, kids, and community, and our own safety. You see, that's why we want to respect, and that's why we want to honor, and that's why we want to pray for our emergency workers who serve in our law enforcement. You see, they showed, and ultimately, if you look at that last point, that's the work. That's the work of emergency workers. And sadly, in our culture today, in many ways, across our nation even, when there is getting to be often a negative view of law enforcement, maybe even somewhat of an angry view toward law enforcement at times, they're still called to offer mercy and compassion and respect and abide by the law, even to those who at times might be purporting to be their enemies or against them or angry with them. They're still called to be like this Samaritan, to show love to someone who is and views them maybe even as an enemy, to show mercy. And that's what is significant. In fact, it's interesting that Jesus in Luke chapter 9, just earlier before, in verses 52 through 53, that the Samaritans had rejected Him. You remember that He wanted to stay in Samaria, and they rejected Him, wouldn't let Him stay there. And James and John wanted to call fire down upon Him, and Jesus said, no, we're just going to move right on. You see, Jesus still chose to use a Samaritan as His hero, because Jesus understood that every person is made in the image of God and is valuable and has purpose and meaning. And so as we think about this, this is why we want to encourage our emergency workers and to appreciate them and their work. I did some research on the statistics. And for example, with police officers in 2015, there were 130 deaths across our nation of police officers in the line of duty. There were, some of those were accidental, but most of those were purposeful, like an assault. Six police officers died from a bomb injury. One died from a fall or drowning, but 39 were killed by gunfire. Some of them were struck by a vehicle or by a vehicle assault. Eight police officers died because they were assaulted while they were in their vehicle. In 2016, this year we're now living, which isn't obviously complete, so you just have statistics through October, there have been 99 deaths, 44 by gunfire, which is up 44% from 2015. And so you see a significant rise in the death by gunfire. I didn't find exact statistics on EMTs and firemen, but I did see where they keep, various internet sites keep records of men who die or women who die in the line of duty. Some of them For example, those who drive ambulances or involved in out on the side of the road dealing with the injured and things. Some of them are killed or injured when their ambulance is hit by other vehicles or when they're hit by other vehicles. Sometimes we may not think about this per se, but even the stress and the worry and the work often causes heart attack or other type of injuries while they're on the job. When you think about what these men and women are dealing with, you think about the sacrifices of the time, you realize that they are good Samaritans among us. I want you to consider, for those of us who are not in these fields, think about often the odd schedules and the work that they do. Think about the fears they have and how these fears are even increasing more. Fears for their own safety, dishonesty. Oftentimes people aren't very honest with them. Fears with dealing with domestic violence and drug addicts. Think about the situations they go into where they're dealing with domestic abuse situations. Think about the fears of the spouse that they have for them as they send their spouse out to do these jobs, or the children. The EMTs, think about what it's like to have the responsibility. And we experienced this somewhat here when we had to respond in an emergency situation, and we are thankful for those responders amongst us, because you are literally, you know, feeling the weight of the pressure of having to save someone's life physically, and the fear of making a mistake and that making a tremendous difference. Think about the emotional stress they carry having to witness and view some of the things they have to view. And some things that, you know, you don't just turn that off when you go home. Think about the burdens they bear, the things they take home with them, the way that they often experience life is very difficult. They see the best of our community, and they see the worst of our community. And so they're good Samaritans amongst us. And we wanted tonight to pray for them and to recognize them and try to encourage them to say thank you. And also to realize that we as a church want to be like Paul tells us to be. Respect those that we need to respect and honor those we need to honor. And we want to be like Jesus. We want to be good Samaritans. And we want to encourage good Samaritans amongst us. This evening, we're going to have a hymn to encourage anyone that may need to respond in a public way. We have a hymn to encourage anyone if they need to come forward and speak to me about any spiritual need they have. If someone wants to put Christ on in baptism to become a child of God, or if they want to rededicate their life, or if they just need to ask for prayers of the church, we're going to sing a hymn to encourage that and make that available at this time. So if you would, please stand as we sing.